works, and I'm glad you're here.
Hallelujah. Remain standing if you would. Raise your right hand or raise a hand. Let me see your Bibles or your devices or just your hand. It doesn't matter. Praise God. Say this after me. Thank God.
Thank God.
I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
You know, it's very important to speak the word.
Yes.
You know, I had people criticize me for saying that over and over. But you know something? In the midst of challenging situations, guess what came out of their mouth?
I'm a believer
and not a doubter. The Word of God is alive in my spirit. It's alive in my soul. It's alive in my body. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The Lord is the strength of my life. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now look at somebody and say, it's time for you to rejoice too, then you can have a seat. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Amen.
God is good. God is good. Yeah, I'll do that. Could you two stand up, if you would, just for a moment? I call you the Sisters of Thunder. Yeah, do it, both of you. And Gina, would you stand up? This is what I don't know why the Lord ministered me to do this. The Holy Spirit led me to do this earlier. You know, I just want to obey God.
Amen.
He doesn't have to remind you to do things several times, but me, I don't know. Sometimes I just am hesitant. Your intercessions have not gone unnoticed. You have an audience with me, saith the Spirit of God. You have an audience, and I hear. I hear your words. But more important than that, I hear your heart. The monuments of evil in the spirit realm, I see them falling. I see them crumbling.
Yeah.
I see them demolished into dust. So don't give up. Don't hesitate. Don't listen to your mind. It's time to continue to listen to your heart. On the horizon of the realm of the Spirit, victory is rejoicing. So it's time for you to rejoice. It's time for you to rejoice even more. Victory, victory, victory. And to this whole body, victory,
yes.
Victory, victory.
Yes.
It's time for you to rejoice.
Right.
It's time to show that joy is a force, and it's within you and can be released.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Praise God. You can be seated. Praise God. God is good, isn't He?
Amen.
Hallelujah. The other night I had a dream. I saw two copperheads in this dream. And in the dream, I was running to Joanne, not running away from the snakes, but running to Joanne saying, can I have a baggie? Like a Ziploc, a gallon, she said, like one of these. I said, no, I can't put them in that. I have to put them in a big one. And she kept pulling these Ziploc baggies out of the drawer we keep in our kitchen. It was so clear. You know, I think she finally got a big enough one, and I took both of the snakes and got them into this Ziploc bag and zipped them up, and the dream ended. And when I woke up that morning, or woke up at that point in time, I realized there were two spirits that were attempting to attack this fellowship of believers here. And it came out of my mouth. It came out of my mouth. Grief. Grief. So I took authority over grief. And the other one, I had trouble getting it. And I spoke it out that morning, and I was telling Joanne this, and it came back to me, and I was telling her the dream, and I said, the second one started with a D, and I can't think of what it was. She said, despair. I said, that was it. We have to take authority over grief and despair. Amen. Now, there's a grieving process, and I understand that. I've walked through that numerous times with people who've gone on to be with the Lord. But let me tell you right now, they've gone to be with the Lord, they're not in grief, and they're not in despair. Are you listening to me?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I love the anointing. Well, I thought I was going to teach. I guess I got to do this. We're talking about the direction and journey of faith. And I'm not going into a lot of detail. I'm trying to hit high spots here because of just the limitations of this earthly realm and time, we call. And so on this podcast, these are four episodes that these two messages, these two lessons, last Sunday and this Sunday, are coming from. It's called The Word Works, if you're looking it up on your device. But also, the reason I want to put this up there is because Dan White reminded me, and I'd forgotten this, it's also a link to it is on the NTCF website. Okay, so you can go to that, and the link is there if you're interested. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your spirit within us, your hand on us. We thank you for the anointing, the Holy Spirit, the true teacher who'll teach us, Lord God. We thank you for revelation knowledge to flow far beyond the words I speak into the hearts and lives of these, your people. We're careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So, Hebrews chapter 10. We talked about last time, we're going to look at just three of those verses. I love it. They put all my notes up there. That's pretty cool. Not all of them, but some of them. Therefore, verse 35, do not cast away your confidence. Before someone puts therefore, I want to find out what it's there for. And we'll look at that in a minute. Don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. And then the first part of verse 38, these three verses out of this passage that we talked about. Now the just shall live by faith. Look at the person beside you and say, the just shall live by faith. We talked about four questions in this series. We're only going to discuss three of them. But the first two we talked about are, what direction are you traveling? And number two, are you on God's journey or your journey? Number three we're going to talk about, are you reaching for the goal? Are you reaching for the goal? Look at the person beside you, tap them on the shoulder and say, reach for the goal.
Reach for the goal.
Reach for the goal. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. I got to find my notes. I don't know how, you know, it's amazing. When the Spirit of God starts giving you revelation, you just start filling up pages with stuff and it just keeps going. You know, Scott's got his all nice and neat. I'm just looking, trying to find out what God wants me to say. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Not that I have now attained this ideal, this maturity, this desire to have God as my Father in first place in my life, is what he's been talking about, or have already been made perfect or mature, but I press on to lay hold of grasp, the Amplified Classic is saying, to make my own that for which Christ Jesus, the Messiah, has laid hold of me and made me his own. Verse 13, I do not consider, brethren, that I have captured or made it my own yet, but one thing I do. It is my one aspiration. Forgetting. Everybody say forgetting.
Forgetting.
Forgetting what lies behind and straining forward. Everybody say straining forward. Straining forward to what lies ahead. Verse 14, flip over to that, LaJoyce, if you would, real quick. I press on, this is an Amplified Classic, we'll back up to 13 in a minute. I press on toward the goal, thank you. No, the next one, verse 14. There you go. I press on toward the goal to win the supreme and heavenly prize to which God in Christ Jesus is calling us upward. Now back up to verse 13 for the Phillips. I'm forgetting what's behind. I'm forgetting the past. I'm forgetting to the point of neglecting it. That's what it comes out in the original language. But Phillips translates it this way. But I do concentrate on this. I leave the past behind with my hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead. I'm leaving the past behind with my hands outstretched to whatever lies ahead. I don't know what lies ahead tomorrow. I don't know what tomorrow brings. That's why we got to live by faith.
Right.
Hallelujah. Yeah. We must live by faith. Some of you couldn't handle it. Some of us couldn't handle it. It's going to be so good. Hallelujah. You might as well say that. You might as well believe that. Why not?
That's right.
So, whatever lies ahead, I go straight toward the goal, my reward, the honor of being called by God in Christ. So I want to get the past behind me, and I want to get my pride behind me. We said the letter I is in the middle of pride. So, hey, what's in the middle of pride? I, it's all about you. Or in the middle of anxiety, the word I is in that letter I is in that word, anxiety. But in the middle of faith is the letter I. So I am in the middle of faith. That's my confession of faith. I'm not in the middle of fear. Amen? So I'm leaving the past behind. I'm forgetting the past. And I'm pressing toward the goal with endurance. I'm pressing toward the goal with endurance and joy. Am I pressing toward the goal with endurance and joy? Verse 14, we said, I press toward the goal to win the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, King James says. Look at all the verbs that are used there, the action phrases. Press on, lay hold of, all these verses we just talked about. Forgetting, straining forward, I'm pressing on. Message says, I'm off and running, I'm not turning back. I've told the example here of the time when I was in my little school I was in high school. There was an intramural cross country team that ran with the regular team. And the regular team was so bad, they always came in last in cross country. So we intramural guys, we didn't run with them as far as in competition, but we were in a team meeting one time before a competition, and the coach stood up and said, "Now, boys, now remember, we were so bad, we were last." He said, "Don't look behind you. There's nobody there." So I don't want to look behind me. I want to look ahead to what God has for me. So I don't know about you, but I want to let Christ flow through me. So I get in these situations because my wife just prays for all sorts of people in public. And at first, I've told you my whole process of that. I won't go into that again. But I've come a long way in being obedient to what God wants. By the way, my sister-in-law is here today, and her friend Joe. Tina, thank you for being here. I'm not going to cry. You've been a blessing in my life. There was a time in my life that was so dark. I had no furniture. I'd gone through a divorce. It was a terrible, terrible time. And Tina called me up to come to her house and gave me furniture that I had really liked and looked at several years before. The exact furniture. But more important than that, she hugged me. I'll never forget that day. The love of God came out of her for me. Now let's get back and laugh again. Okay, what were we talking about? Does anybody remember? Oh yeah, I go to this Chick-fil-A down in Bowling Springs, and God is training me there, you know? So I was sitting in the same booth that I said, and the last time this happened, I won't go into a whole long detail about that, but you do remember, possibly some of you, that I was sitting there looking out the window, and this lady mother came in with two daughters, and she walked in, and the Lord ministered to me and said, she needs $100. I thought, well, I need $100 too, you know? But I had $100 in my wallet because I'd sold some whitewater gear a friend of mine had given me. And he'd passed on and gone to be with the Lord, and he gave me this as a blessing. And so I had a $100 bill in my pocket, and I'm sitting there, and there's two more times, the Lord, she needs $100. And so I said, okay, but Lord, you know, I'm giving all these arguments. You never argue with God, do you? Guess who wins? So I emptied my tray and went into the restroom to get the money out, hoping she would be gone. Oh, come on, don't look so holy out there. So I was hoping she'd be gone. I came out and she was just getting up from the table, and the Lord ministered to me. I said, okay. I walked up. I said, listen, my wife and I love the Lord. And she started crying. She started crying. That's all I said. We just, something like that. We just love Jesus. And she started crying. And I said, he told me to give you this. You might need it. And I walked out the door because I didn't want any glory. You don't take the glory, you can't take the blame. Amen? But the next day, I got a 60-fold return on that. You know, 30, 60, 100. And I had $6,000 show up in an account. I had no idea it was going to happen. No idea. So you would think the next time the Lord ministered to me, I wouldn't argue with him about this. But oh no, Bert is sitting there, and a, elderly couple gets out. I have to be very careful about the word elderly because I'm getting older. But to, in Dr. Box's eyes, I'm a teenager. Hallelujah. He's 101. So are you enjoying yourself?
Yes.
Good. Okay, I have no idea what we're talking about. Where was I? Chick-fil-A. Yeah. So this elderly couple gets out. I think she's got a walker. She's been driving, and he's got a cane, and they're walking in, and it rose up in me. What are you going to do about that? I thought, I'm going to sit here and eat my salads. What am I going to do about that? I'm just staying out of their business. Don't leave me alone, okay? Why do I sit in the same booth? I do not know. The Holy Spirit must be there, an angel, something. I don't know. So he came in two more times. It happened. The second time, he said, what are you going to do about that? When they walked in the door, and the man walked right past me. The lady went to go order, and he walked right past me to go to the restroom. I thought, oh, Lord, here we go, another restroom situation. I got in there last time, and I got a $100 bill out. God, what do you want me to do about this? What are you going to do about this? So I went and emptied my tray again. This is the routine. I emptied my tray, and I didn't even ask God. I knew it. Walk in the restroom. So I turned. I thought, I have no idea what I'm going to do. All I'm trying to do is forget my past and move forward into what God has for me, whatever He has for me, whatever lies ahead. Are you listening to me? This is how you learn endurance. This is how you learn faith, because you got to be obedient.
Right.
Abraham's faith was tested through obedience.
Right.
So I'm walking into the bathroom, walking toward the bathroom, thinking, what am I supposed to do? Get in there and go, you know, I walked in, he's in the stall. I said, what am I, in my mind, you know, in a nanosecond, these thoughts are going on. I'm thinking, okay, Bert, are you going to go up and go, excuse me, sir, can I pray for you? Joanna had never heard this story. I had forgotten to tell her. And this happened about a week ago, and I was sitting in a home group in Grover, North Carolina, and I'm telling this story, and she's busting out laughing. She said, what did you do? Go in there and grab his cane, throw it out the door and say, get out the best way you can. Walk in Jesus' name by faith. I said, no, I didn't do that. No. And then I thought, WWJD, what would Joanne do? I mean, Jesus do? She might have done that. So I go in there thinking, Lord, here we go. He's in the stall. I decided to wash my hands. I'm washing my hands and I got real quiet. And something rose up. The word peace. At first I thought it was for me because I sure needed it, but it wasn't. It was for him. And I quietly whispered, peace. And when I did, I was released from what I was supposed to do. I walked out the door. You mean you didn't pray for him? He didn't throw his cane down? You didn't do all that? You didn't have miracles happen? Look, some people need peace more than they need physical healing. They need to get the peace first. The physical healing will come.
Right.
Somebody need to speak a word over that guy. Obey God. Obey God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. We'll go back. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. I don't know about you, but I want to do the will of God. Well, it starts off as says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence. Well, if it's there, well, let's find out what it's there for. Nancy Clouder reminded me of this. In Hebrews chapter 10, same verse, same chapter, back up to verse 32. It's Paul's writing, I guess it's Paul, and he says in the message, remember those early days after you first saw the light, after you were first illuminated? That's a different translation that I'm using today. If you could just black that one out, dark it out. Remember those early days when you first saw the light, you were first illuminated? Those were the hard times. Remember when you first got saved, you first had eternal life come into you? You were very aware. I'm not going to read all this, but what he basically says is this. You were very aware of eternal life. You were very aware of spiritual matters. And all of a sudden, nothing else really mattered. What happened? I was meditating on that yesterday, and it hit me. When Zoe, or eternal life, comes into my spirit, all of a sudden, I'm hooked into the flow of what God is doing and what God has wanted to do. And all of a sudden, now my attention now is not only turned toward this life, but is also turned toward heaven. And I'm on a direct path. I'm hooked up. And all of a sudden, the things of this world grow strangely dim. I love the hymn writers because they saw things in the realm of the Spirit. They saw it. And Paul goes on to say, people even came in and stole from you, and it didn't matter because they couldn't take the real treasure in your heart. The real treasure that we have is in our heart, to walk by faith. So I need to do the will of God with endurance. Do the will of God with endurance. Now, James chapter 1, look at that if you would please. Brett, are you here? Could you come up for me? I'm hitting high spots, remember. You have need of endurance. Verse 36 in Hebrews 10 says, after you've done the will of God, you may receive the promise. James chapter 1, verse 2 says, count it all joy. Now, we can teach levels on this. But count it all joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy.
Consider it joy when you encounter various trials. I thought, when I first read this, I thought somebody made a mistake and put this in the Bible. That doesn't even make any sense. Well, you're exactly right. The Bible doesn't have to make sense to your natural brain. It's word. It's spirit food. Amen? We compare spiritual with spiritual. So count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into various trials. Knowing this, the King James says, the testing of your faith produces patience. The New American Standard says, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. So count it all joy when you fall into various trials. No, I'm not going to hula hoop demonstrate in front of you. But this is a hula hoop that looks like a torture device of some sort. It's got these ridges in it. And Joanne brought this home one day and put it together after she'd been to Curves. And the idea is that you do the hula hoop and these ridges just beat the fat off of you, I guess. I don't know how else to say it other than that, okay? So you're bruised when you get done, I guess. So it's various colors, so we're going to consider this various trials. So, Brett, step in that. Consider it all joy when you fall into, hold it up if you would please, various trials. The word encounter can also mean surrounded by. So Brett is surrounded by various trials. Okay? Do you get the picture? Okay, I teach in children's church. This is what we do, okay? Are you in the trial?
Not much.
No, you're in it, yes. Buddy. The correct answer is yes.
Yes.
All right, well, you can go back and just stay in the trial for a while.
Okay.
Do you ever stay in a trial for a while?
Yeah.
Stay in a trial for a while. That even rhymes. Consider it all joy, my brethren. Sometimes when I fall into a trial, I'm not very joyful. But that's not what he's saying. He says, consider it all joy when you encounter. Consider it when you encounter. Now for me, I know there are different perspectives of the Bible. But for me, the trial is not the joyful time. But the encounter is what I should consider joyful. Because he says, consider it. Consider it all joy. What? The encounter. Why? Because I know I win. I know I'm going to get through this. I know I've got Jesus in me. Hallelujah. Come back up here. Quick. I know you're in the encounter. You're in the trial. Are you in the trial?
Yes.
He's surrounded by it. Everybody in here has walked through this stuff. You walk through it. But he may not be joyful about the trial. But he can be joyful about the encounter and endure that encounter with joy. Look at the person beside you and say, just slap them and say, hey, are you awake? You get it? You're in the trial. Now, in the trial, he's got Jesus in his heart. He's got God. He's got the Godhead bodily in him, the Holy Spirit. But he's in there. Okay, you can go back. Are you in the trial? Brett?
I am.
Okay. So what are you going to do in the trial? Are you going to consider it all joy? I'm going to consider that encounter all joy? If I do, where am I going to get the joy from? Well, it's the fruit of the Spirit. It's inside you.
That's right.
Release it. Well, somebody says, well, I don't feel very joyful. It's not a feeling. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Wouldn't it be great to go through a trial without the flesh? Without the soul? Just the Spirit. Praise God. Are you getting anything? Let this stuff sink in. Joyful. How much of the encounter do we consider joy? All of it. Yeah, but I don't like that. Well, the test produces endurance if you let it. Faith tested equals endurance produced. If I'm steadfast, if I'm patient in the middle of it, then praise God, I will endure. But if I get double-minded, Brett, come back up here. Are you still in the trial?
Yes.
If I get double-minded, let not this man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord, the few verses going to say.
Right.
Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I wrote this down, and you just meditate on it, think about it. It just caught my attention. This came to me. Double-mindedness is the result or the outcome of weary endurance. Double-mindedness is the outcome or result of weary endurance or tired endurance. So, Hebrews chapter 12, while you're turning there, we need to allow joy to flow through us when we're surrounded by an encounter of a test or a trial. Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, now he says therefore. Remember, Hebrew, why are we looking? Why is it there? If it's therefore, see what it's there for. If you're looking back in Hebrews 11, you'll see he's talking about the heroes of faith, people who walked in faith and saw results. Some of them didn't see results, but they did it anyway.
Right.
They endured. So, therefore, from the New American Standard, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that's set before us. And we'll stop right there. Brett, are you in the trial?
Yes.
Are you enduring?
Yes.
Do you have joy?
Yes.
Put it down. 1982, I wore this in the Canadian Arctic. It was a hunting parka, so it's not real stylish. The other one I have looks a little better. But I want you to put this on. There's a missionary anointing on this. So, this represents what's in verse 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud, the word cloud there can also mean garment or clothed with. We are clothed with so great a cloud of witnesses. You can pick that back up. Are you still in the trial?
Yes.
Do you have Jesus in your heart?
Yes.
Do you have the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you have the Father God through the Godhead bodily dwelling in you?
Yes.
Do you have the Word in you?
Yes.
But guess what else you have in that trial, if you will receive it, is the witness of truth. The great cloud of witnesses are encouraging you to press on. You see them in the Word. You see David. You see the whole list there in Hebrews chapter 11. And you know something else? And you, this is Bert. I believe the great cloud of witnesses are also those people who are in heaven right now, who've gone on, but they're encouraging you with the truth. They've witnessed the truth. This stuff really is true. When I stood over my dad's grave and thought, is this really true? Where is he? And within a few hours, it hit me, yes, or within time, I got a hold of it. God, he is in heaven. They witnessed to the truth. Do they see what's going on here? This is Bert. I don't know, but they witness. They're witnesses of something. I believe they're personally, they're witnesses of the truth. Remember what John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Couldn't that have been the Father speaking through him? He knows when we're walking in truth. You are encouraged by the faith of those who've gone forward. They are encouraging you. Don't give up. This is worth it, as Amy's saying. It's worth it all. It's what you and I can do, but you've got to do it by faith, with endurance and joy. Okay? You can take that off. Just give Brett a hand clap. Thank you. When I was in the Arctic, the last week I was there in March, I was wearing this coat and I went to the post office expecting a ticket home. There were only two planes. This was Tuesday. Thursday was coming. I had to leave on Thursday. And I went there and got a box. It was a parcel. And I'd specifically told my parents, when you mail the ticket, put it in an envelope, because they take the boxes and throw them in a warehouse. There was no envelope. There was a box, had nothing about documents or tickets inside of it. And I walked back across the frozen tundra of Cambridge Bay, God's man of faith and power, and kicked the ice and snow and said, God, why do I have to do everything by faith? And it did not hit me till this morning, is because that's the just shall live by faith. We live by faith. We live by faith. All right, verse 2. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Get this. He endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. He fixed his eyes on the joy. I believe we were that joy. That's just me personally. For verse 3 says, for consider him who has endured such hostility. And he goes on to say that you not grow weary and not faint in your souls. He fixed his eyes on us, his joy. We fix our eyes on him, our joy. You get that? Simple. He fixed his eyes on us, his joy. We fix our eyes on him, on Jesus, our joy. Endurance can motivate your confession of faith, and lack of it can destroy your confession of faith. Psalm 16:11. You make me know the path of your life, and your presence is fullness of joy. Well, wait a minute. If I've got joy inside of me, it's the fruit of the Spirit. How does that fruit grow to fullness? We just read it. In His presence. In His presence. Faith has to be exercised to grow. It comes by hearing the Word. But joy, the fruit of joy, is full in His presence. I want to read this to you. I meant to tell it to you last week. Any one year of my life has seemed totally random, but any 10-year span has been exquisitely choreographed. In God. Any one year of my life has seemed totally random, but any 10-year, or you fill in the blank, span has been exquisitely choreographed. The Living Bible of verse 11 we just read out of Psalm 16 says, you have let me experience the joys of life and the exquisite pleasures of His own eternal presence. The word exquisite in the English language means extremely beautiful. It can mean it's typically delicate, it's lovely, it's elegant, and it's rare. When I get in the presence of God and I stay in His presence, surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, knowing that I've got the Godhead bodily dwelling within me in the Word and the Spirit, which are agreeing, joy and endurance can get me through anything. Anything with faith. One person said, stop talking to God about your problems and start talking to your problems about what God has already done. Colossians chapter 1 will close. Colossians 1. Recently, I reviewed the last 9 or 10 years of my life. We've been here 9.5 years or so. But I went back and looked at several areas of my life. Healing, finances, relationships, spiritual faith projects, just different things. When I have acted on the Word with endurance, joy, and confession of that Word, the accomplishments have been amazing. When I haven't, they've been terrible. Just proving out in my own life to me, just like the enemy tries to prove you're wrong. The defeated one tries to prove you're wrong. I'm here, and I hope you're here, to prove him wrong. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. One of my favorite passages of Scripture, I love to teach out, verses 9 through 14, that prayer, one of the prayers Paul prayed. But he says this, "The Father has delivered us," from the Amplified Classic, "and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness, and has transferred us into the Son of his love," the kingdom of the Son of his love. The Father has delivered me from the power or the authority of darkness and translated me into the kingdom of the Son of his love, the kingdom of his dear Son. I was meditating on this the other day, just for fun. I just wanted to spend time with you and just talk to you about the Word. I went to my favorite passage of Scripture, one of my favorite in the epistles, and this came to me, and it's so simple, but I believe this will encourage your faith. He says here we're delivered from the authority, dominion, and control of darkness. So I start writing. We are delivered from the authority of darkness. But the authority of darkness is not delivered from the authority of light in us. Think about that. We are delivered from the authority of darkness. But the authority of darkness is not delivered from the authority of light in us. He's subject to the light. He's subject to the Spirit. He's subject to the Word coming out of you. The defeated one, the devil, is subject to that authority. You need to know that. The next time darkness is trying to come at you, you just shoot light back at him. Ed Soleil said this to me on the phone yesterday. It's not a time for this church to hang our sword and look sad. No, it's a time to raise our sword, the Word of God, and to declare that joy is the force. That Jesus engaged, he took endurance and engaged the force of joy on that cross to get through that. He knew the results. I said that was the last scripture. I repent. Luke 21 and we'll close. And I don't have time to teach on all these, but the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired he may sift you out as wheat." Let me just share this. You know, there are a lot of people in this room who are great Bible teachers. I've heard some of you. It's not my job in the body of Christ to blow your hair back with revelation knowledge. It's just not. That's not my job. I couldn't do that for Ed anyway. He doesn't have any. Where is he? But someone said, "The gift in you is a foundation inspector." I went, "I guess that's right." So if you don't walk out of here with some, "Man, I got this great revelation," I don't really care, personally. It's not for me anyway. Like Scott said, when we get to heaven, the two of us aren't going to be teaching. Thank God. Hallelujah. I want the Holy Spirit to teach. Hallelujah. So Satan wants to have you and sift you as wheat. I'm no Hebrew or Greek scholar. Scott has more books and more knowledge than I do. But I just look real simple at it, and this is what I came up with. One definition of the word sift means to prove by trials. Satan wants to prove by trials. He wants to prove you're wrong. He wants to prove God's word is wrong. But I've got a great cloud of witnesses who've proved that it's right. And I'm surrounded by them, hallelujah. They're encouraging me the whole way. Come on, you can do this, Bert. You can get through this. I know you can do this. Jacob McCarty's doing that right now. You know that? He's encouraging you. He's free from this body. And he's encouraging you and me, along with your relatives. Everybody in here has had someone who's lost, we say lost, someone they've gone on to be with the Lord. Everybody in here has been touched by that, I'm sure. Some very close to me, some emotional, if I even think about it. Just, I loved them so much. But that's my grief. That's me. Because I immediately think, but what are they doing now? Hallelujah. Praise God. They're rejoicing. And Jesus goes on to say, "But I've prayed that your faith will not fail." Yes. Yes. Your faith will not fail. I believe today that Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding and praying for you, and that your faith's not going to fail. Your faith is not going to fail. I'd really like it if the three elders could come up here right now. We're going to close with prayer. Dan and Scott and Eric. And I just want to pray a simple prayer over you, this congregation. If Eric and if y'all just come up and turn around to take a section of people or whatever and reach your hand out toward them, if you would. And I just want to pray a simple prayer. Father, Lord, you know the direction of our lives. You know this journey of faith that we're on. We desire to live by faith. Father, we pray over this congregation that their faith will not fail, that they will stand strong in the Lord. They will encourage others. For those who are believing for loved ones, we can't override their will, but we can sure break the power of the devil around them, and we do that right now. And we thank you, Lord, that they will walk in the Word. We pray right now, Father, for people who've got their faith out for healing, that, Lord God, you minister your healing power to them personally and for those that are praying for others, as well as finances, as well as wisdom, needing wisdom. Whatever their need is, Lord God, that they've got their faith out for, I thank you, sir, that their faith is working and they're allowing it to work by speaking that word and enduring with joy. Because the joy of the Lord gives us strength. Thank you, Father. Father, our faith is out that we know that heaven is our home. Yes, Lord, the sweet by and by. But we know that the nasty now and now is where the word works also. And we thank you for that. That their faith will not fail. Their faith is victorious. It is successful. And everyone in here has faith because God has given to each man the measure of faith. And we thank you for that, Father. In Jesus' name. Everybody stand on your feet if you would and say this. Everybody stand on your feet if you would and say this out. My faith will not fail.
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 My faith is victorious.
My faith is victorious.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
Amen.